the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
The Honda Classic has fallen victim to its bad placement on the PGA schedule in recent years. What once was a tournament that hosted most of the world's top golf players now can't even get one of the top 10 to partake. The Honda comes after two big tournaments out west and before two more here in Florida, so many players take the week of the Honda off so they can do their best at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and Players Championship. There are possibilities in the works that could bolster the tournament. What are those? And what will happen now that Honda is ending its sponsorship of the tournament after 42 years? And how is LIV Golf affecting the Honda and the ensuing two tournaments in the state of Florida? To help sort it all out, I welcome in golf expert Tom DeAngelo of the Palm Beach Post. Tom has been reporting on all sorts of news dealing with the Honda Classic, LIV Golf, and everything else golf recently, and he'll join us to tell us what he knows. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. This podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper, and of course, this podcast, to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. Tom DeAngelo has been reporting on golf and everything else South Florida for more than four decades. His golf reporting in recent weeks has received hundreds of thousands of page views as the interest grows in the continuing rift between the PGA and LIV Golf. Let's bring Tom in and get down to some golf. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Tim. Great to be back and great to start a whole new year and especially kicking off the golf season here.
Absolutely. It's time for all those golf tournaments here in Florida. So let's start there. We've got the Honda Classic coming up right there in your backyard in South Florida. And you had a nice column this past week looking at how the Honda Classic's glory days, maybe you're seemingly behind it. And you also lay out ways that can help. So let's start there. The Honda comes after the end of the West Coast swing, and it's the start of four straight events here in Florida. So talk about some of the things that can be done after the Genesis in the next few years to help get this tournament back to those glory days where it was just, you know, it seems like just a few years ago when Tiger Woods was winning it.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago. This was among the best non-majors in the country. The fields were great. They had seven out of the top 10 in 2014. They always have had great crowds. It's one of the golf capitals of the world with all the PGA Tour players that live here. But recently the schedule has just worked against them. You know, Honda's always fell here for most of the years. It's the first event after Genesis. So it's the first event after the West Coast swing, the first event of the Florida swing, which means the travel in between. It comes after Tiger's event, which is a very popular event and most of the players play in. And that comes after the Phoenix Open, which the players love playing in. We've seen the crowds. We've seen the party atmosphere. It's just a kind of a big celebration there for 4 days. And a lot of the guys like that. So they're playing those two events. And then, of course, following Honda is the Arnold Palmer, which is another very popular event. And the players up in your area, which, of course, all the players play in their tournament. So it's just in a bad spot in the schedule. And this year that was kind of magnified because the tour designated both events before Honda, the Phoenix Open and the Genesis, and both after the Arnold Palmer and the players, which is already an important event anyway. But they goosed their purses. So they're up to $20, $25 million purses, and Honda's sitting there with an $8.4 million purse. So the combination of players not really fond of playing 5 weeks in a row, having two $20 to $25 million purses around a tournament with an $8.4 million purse, it was easy for them to skip. And the field shows it. It's the weakest field they've had when it, just going by the numbers since it's moved to the Champion Course at PGA National. Right now, there's three of the top 20 in the field, and then three of the top 30 actually. Next one is number 31. So they've got Billy Horschel, Sung Jae-im, and Shane Lowry, and they'll start 18, 19, and 20. So they have none of the top 17 in the world, and three of the top 20. That's not good. So what the tour is doing, working with Honda, is next year there's an opportunity. Next year the way the calendar falls, there's an extra week in the season before the Masters. All indications are, and what I think the tour is going to try to maybe separate the West Coast and the Florida swing. So that means that extra week would fall between Genesis and Honda, where they could put either another, you know, a smaller event, certainly not one that's elevated, and certainly not one with a $20 million purse, or maybe something like the Puerto Rico Open that's played the same weekend as Honda, in which case none of the top players would be in that. That will help. That will mean guys can play Honda with possibly skipping the week before, or even if they don't, they could play. They wouldn't have to play five consecutive weeks with four of those elevated. They'd be separating the events with the $20 million person. So that's what Honda is looking for. That could be the solution the next 3 years. That's the way the calendar falls. Then it goes back where there's that extra week is taken out. But at that point, there are some years, you know, the tour has made an indication. They've indicated that at least once, you know, whether it's every 3, 4, 5 years, but they know that each event has to get a chance to be a $20 million purse. If their sponsors are willing to lay out that money, they're going to give them a chance to do that. If Honda finds a sponsor that wants to do that, there will be time also where it will have a $20 million purse, and that automatically will guarantee you a world-class field.
Yeah, and you know, it would just make sense, you would think, for all of the golfers to want to play in the Florida Tour. You're going from South Florida to Orlando to Jacksonville and then over to Tampa, so it's kind of like a nice tour of the state. It's March, you're getting nice weather, so it would be great to see that come back. But one of the other residual effects in this, Tom, I've known that, you know, I'm 46 years old. I've basically known this as the Honda Classic since I was a child. And now Honda will no longer be the sponsor after this year. And a lot of it is because of these reasons. So what are they doing? You know, have you heard of any potential sponsors, or how are they going to lure someone to be a big name sponsor if they're not getting those type of fields?
Yeah, all but 4 years of your life, they were 42 straight years, the longest running title sponsor on tour. That will now become the AT&T, yet started in 86. So that will be about 38 years. They're very confident they're going to find a good sponsor. They, as soon as they knew this, and they knew this long before it was announced, they knew that American Honda was kind of just, you know, redoing how they do business and pulling out of the Honda Classic. The tour has a bunch of potential title sponsors, a list. And in fact, I was told it's 40 to 50 potential title sponsors that's just out there at all times. And they start working on it. I'm told right now it's down to 3 to 5. And those 3 to 5, some of them will be on site when the tournament starts Thursday, just to get a lay of the land and see what it's all about. And then, at some point, there'll be more negotiating, I'm sure. There'll be a lot more negotiating. And at some point, probably perhaps this summer, they have no set deadline. Even if it went into the fall, they're good with that. You know, for the sponsor, the earlier the better, to get your, you know, to get your name out there and to get all the signage and everything done and make sure that, you know, you're 100% out there for the next year's tournament. But they're very confident that they'll find one, and they'll find a good one. As far as the names, no, I don't any. I'm pushing for the Dunkin' Classic. I could have, you know, I'd love to have Dunkin' Donuts coffee and Dunkin' Donuts in the press room all day, but I don't think it's going to be Dunkin' Donuts. Or maybe the Wawa Classic. You know, their coffee's pretty good. So I don't know. They are very confident that they have a quality people out there checking it out and are in the running still. And then they'll move on. Now, the interesting thing is that we talk about these $20 million purses and elevated events. These are as much up to the sponsor as it is the tour. I mean, the tour can tell a tournament that you are, you know, would like to increase your purse from whatever, 8 million to 20 million. Sponsors have to go along with that, because that money comes from not just the tour, but it's kind of it's definitely a collaboration between the title sponsor and the tour. That's where that money comes from. And people from the tour have told me there are many title sponsors who are good with their the way their event is right now have turned down an opportunity or will turn down an opportunity to go to a $20 million purse. They feel they don't need to lay out that additional money for the purse because they're getting good fields. Their charitable numbers are up. Their attendance is good. It's kind of like Phoenix. It's interesting how they gave Phoenix an elevator. They really didn't need to. Phoenix is a great tournament. They had great fields and they have the largest crowds in the of the on the tour on tour non-major. It's the biggest easily, and yet they elevated its purse, but they really didn't need to. So it's kind of like those, like if there are some sponsors that would prefer not to be elevated, they don't want to put out that money. So that will depend on the sponsor too with Honda, with the whatever it's called in the next year. But they're very confident they it is not going anywhere. It's going to be a PGA National. It's just going to be called something else.
Well, you know, you're sitting there thinking of coffee. I was thinking, hey, isn't Captain Morgan a South Florida thing? But maybe not.
Bacardi Rum, the Bacardi Club.
There you go. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the other things that could be impacting it is, you know, the amount of players who were maybe there in the past who are now in LIV Golf and are banned. And, you know, we're going to be seeing that a lot coming up because with the Arnold Palmer Invitational, March 9th through 12th, or I'm sorry, that's when the players is the Arnold Palmer the week before that. But, you know, the numbers, I believe it was there were 16 LIV players banned from returning to the Farmers Open in January. There were 15 who didn't play in the Phoenix Open. But the staggering number is when it comes to the players, again, March 9th through 12th, there are 25 participants in last year's tournament who joined LIV Golf and are barred from entering, including last year's champion Cameron Smith. So, what are your thoughts on all of that and how those are affecting the tournaments and what LIV Golf is doing to some of these PGA events?
Well, it's definitely affecting Honda because last year Honda had 11 top 50 golfers. Six of those are guys who are now on LIV, and including Brooks Koepka, who was from this area and always played. Joaquin Niemann lives here. He can't play. He's on LIV. Matthew Wolf lives in this county. He's on LIV. Charles Schwartzel, Brendan Grace, Dustin Johnson, but he never played Honda. He hasn't played it since 2015. So there were six of them. Also, Lee Westwood doesn't live here, but he loved Honda every year he played it, most years. So it certainly affects this field. Yeah, it is going to impact every field. You know, and the fact is too with Honda, LIV certainly strategically set their first event to go up against Honda. And I'm sure it was because they knew Honda's field would not, they did not want to see, LIV likes to, when they're in an event, you like to see the LIV guys crowing about how their field is stronger than the field they're going up against. So they'll strategically go up against Honda. They won't go up against one of the, you know, the players or Ani or Genesis, because they know that field is just going to crush their field. You know, head to head, full fields, LIV is nowhere close to the PGA Tour, you know, roster. The roster isn't even close. I look at it as about 25%. It's about a quarter as good, because when you look at the numbers, I broke down the numbers of the guys, what they were ranked in the world golf rankings when they left the tour and went to LIV. Wouldn't be fair to do it now because they're not getting those ranking points. But when they left the tour to go to LIV, they have about four or five of the top 25. They had, you know, 25 to 30 of the top 100, maybe a few more top 100. But it's about 25 to 30% the field, the PGA Tour field. So next week, when they open up in Mexico and they have all their guys and they can roll out Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and Joaquin Niemann and, you know, the rest of that right there alone, those four, and then no one else is better than the Honda field. So you'll hear that they have a great, their field is better than the field they're up against, but they do that strategically. So they'll make sure that, you know, they're not as much as they can now with 14 events, they can't do it every week, but they'll make sure as much as they can, they're going to go up against a tournament that they know on the PGA Tour is not going to get a great field. And that's when they'll start talking about the depth and the quality of that field, but it certainly isn't. And it is an interesting time. And I don't think the PGA, it certainly has done this, Tim. It definitely has the PGA Tour definitely reacted to them. They have forced the PGA Tour to make some moves, and these elevated events are the primary move they made by, you know, throwing some more money into the purses, which was one of the, you know, the issues the players had. So that worked in favor of the players. And some of the players will tell you they thank Liv for that, for doing that, and for causing that, you know, those purses to be increased. And you know, but at this point, I think PGA Tour is happy. I think Liv got more players than we expected last year. They certainly did. They certainly got more than I expected, more better players. But I think this offseason was a very big disappointment, because all we heard at the Doral, at their final event at Doral down in my outside of Miami last October, was they were going to be adding big names. And there were all kinds of rumors. There was Jon Rahm, there was Jason Day and Adam Scott, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. You would have thought they were going to get a couple of those guys the way they were talking. They got none of them. They got none of them. The best they could do was Thomas Pearson or Pereira. They certainly did not get the name recognition they wanted this offseason. So while they probably maybe exceeded what most expected last year, especially with Brooks and Dustin and Cam Smith, I think they fell a little flat this offseason. But they open up this week, and if anybody can get CW out there, they'll be able to watch them.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question is, you know, they've got their rosters out, their schedule out, and they finally got the TV deal, but it is on the CW. And when I think of the CW, I think of Veronica Mars and Charmed and Gilmore Girls. I don't think of, oh, let's go watch our golf there. And it's not, you know, I don't even know what areas get the different versions of CW. So what did you make of that TV deal? Was it just, this is the only place we could get?
Exactly. Exactly. I know they tried everything, and they'll tell you that they got the, well, of course they'll tell you they got the network they wanted, and it's in 211 million homes in the US or whatever the number is. But let's face it, it's not a good situation. It's a revenue sharing, number one. So you think about this, the Big 12, I think, was what, 80 million? It's what I can't in the astronomical numbers that college football conferences are getting from the ESPNs and Foxes and the combinations of all these networks that televise college football, flat out writing checks to them. And here is LIV Golf having to share the revenue and still kind of, and still, you know, pay a lot of money for their talent and for their production costs and all that with the CW network. You know, this isn't, they're not doing this with ESPN or Fox Sports, or they're doing the CW network. So now it wasn't the outcome that they wanted, and that's the first thing. The second thing is, we still haven't heard of one sponsor that's jumped on board. And this entire, Tim, the entire business model is built around getting a television network, bringing in sponsors to increase the value of these 12 four-man teams, and then sell these teams as franchises. Liv looks as itself as l looks at itself as the NFL, and then Dustin Johnson's Four Aces and Brooks Koepka's Smash and Joaquin Neiman's Torque and Phil Mickelson's High Flyers. They look at them as the Dolphins and Patriots and Cowboys and 49ers. You know, they're the league, and these are the franchises, and they want to sell these franchises. And the insane number that's been out there is they want to get up to $100 million per franchise. And from what I've talking to people and seeing some reading some things, I believe, well, they want you to believe they've been already offered like the $25 million range, and they've said no. That was last year. They said no, the value will be greater when we get a TV deal and when we get sponsors come on board. And they can, you know, they think they'll get a lot more money now all of a sudden. So now they now you get if they did just say if it was a wild dream, they got $100 million for a team, Liv is going to get 75% of that. So Liv Saudi Arabia will make 75 750 million off the will make 75 million off the 100 million. About what? Almost $1 billion when you add 100 million times 12, so 1.2 billion, 75% of that, maybe 800, I guess 800 million. So that goes towards, you know, that That kind of goes towards your startup fee, what they're paying now to what they have paid over the billions they've paid to start this up. And then the captain of the team gets the rest of the money and disperses it. But that money has to be used to get marketing people, to get people to sell the team and sell their own individual sponsorships. It has to be used to pay the players. It has to be used for their travel and for their lodging. That's a, so that it, you know, it's 25 million might take care of that, but are they going to be able to sell this? Sell each one for 30 million, and then they have like 6 million left for the captain and for the marketing people and for promotions and for travel and paying the other players. It's almost like the numbers will only work if they can sell them for a minimum of, I guess, 50 million. And I don't know who's going to do that. One ploy they did to try to get that get those big bucks is, if you notice, the teams are, you know, they have a team of all Australian, all South American, all, you know, they have a team with the three of the four are South American players. I meant all South Africa. We have a team with four guys from South Africa. So that way they're looking. So maybe, I don't know, you know, Koala Airlines in Australia will say, oh, okay, we'll give you 80 million for your team. We want to buy Cam Smith's team, you know, all the Australian guys. So that's one thing they're hoping enhances the values of those team is the regional, and those countries will pay for those areas of the country. Those countries would pay more money because they'd have their players representing their country that they're you know, the team they own. So it's a big ask. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot that has to go into this ending up where they see it ending up. I don't know if they're going to get there.
That just sound absolutely insane, quite frankly. I mean, just the pipe dream among pipe dreams. I just, you know, if it were to happen, it's not going to happen anytime soon. I know the Saudis don't mind hemorrhaging money because they're just literally pulling it from the ground constantly. It's
That's
definitely. Yeah, well, it's different than what you see from, you know, American capitalism, where they're trying to, you know, the only time really rich people spend money is if it's making money. You know, they're just, hey, I've got all this play money, and they're going out to do it. And, you know, with the CW, I mean, it's a terrible deal. And, you know, is the Flash going to show up, and is he going to run from one hole to the other to try and draw
Yeah,
attention? I mean,
that's a great point. Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
I'll tell
you.
you know, the Saudis are not going to run out of money. The question is, how long do they want to just keep, you know, just keep spending money with no return? That's just the question.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder, do they have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan before they bail? And then they'd have ruined the careers of some of the biggest names in golf, although they'd be very rich. So, you know, I often wonder to myself, Tom, and maybe you've wondered this, like, you know, let's say the Saudis came to you and offered you a ridiculous life-changing amount of money to be the journalist of Liv. Like, you know, it's hard to be pious and say, oh, I'd turn that down because, you know, people like us have never made wealth money before. And, you know, it makes you look into yourself. And it's such a tough thing. So I don't want to, you know, castigate the golfers, but those were already guys who are rich and are now ridiculously rich. But, you know, it's just a hard thing to wrap your mind around, though. You know, somebody making an offer like that, and then you have to decide for yourself, you know, do I go with these people that bonesaw journalists, or do I do the right thing and not leave the US?
Yeah, and you're right, Tim. And I've looked at it. And I've tried to. I kind of break it down to three kind of groups of players. They have the, you know, the stars, the guys that are making their money, the guys who are in there. Kind of in their heyday, you know, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, Cam Smith, Joaquin Neiman, those guys. Then you have the young guys like Brooks Koepka's brother, Chase. He's been trying to get on the tour since 2015. So in 7 years, he made $350,000. So he just made a normal person's salary, you know, not a great salary in 7 years making that much money. So you kind of, his time was running out. He probably would never get on the PGA Tour. Okay, you know, and there's a lot of those guys. There's a lot of guys ranked 500 to infinity on the world golf rankings who are never going to make the PGA Tour. But here they go out there and they're going to make a minimum of $120,000 a tournament, and they'll hit one or two where they'll make more, and they'll come away with a minimum of probably the worst will make, I don't know, we'll make at least 1 million every year. At least, I mean, now that there's 14 tournaments, much more than that. You know, the guy's fin same guy finishes last every year, every week. and he doesn't, and his team doesn't ever win, he's still going to make, you know, $1.5 million, more than that. So you get that. And then there's the other guys that you understand too, the Ian Poultons and Graham McDowells and Lee Westwoods, although Lee Westwood still had a little bit left 2 years ago. We saw that. But the guys who are just, you know, they're in their 40s, they're on the downside, and they're looking for one more big payday. They'll probably be their 2 or 3 year contract. Well, I guess a lot of these contracts were 2, 3, 4 years, probably 4 for the better players, but their 2 or 3 year contract, they probably won't be renewed after their 2 or 3 years. But you know what? They'll come out of there making some of them $50 million in 3 years. Brendan Grace made $12 million on 14 years on the tour. Last year, he made $17 million. So, you know, they're not taking money illegally. Everybody has a right to make money where they can get it from. I wouldn't do it. I don't think I would do it. I'm not in that position where I would be, you know, where I'm on the streets and I need this money like nothing else. But if they're okay taking it, and I've said this to several of these golfers, cause I've talked to many of them. I've been to a couple of these tournaments and just, I've walked the fairways with a few of them during a pro-am, and they've asked me, and I've said, look, I said what I just told you, everybody has the right to, you know, to make money, earn money, as long as it's not illegal, who are we to judge? And we can have, and we can say, you know, we don't have to agree with it. We could say exactly what you said. I don't like where the money's coming from. I said, but everybody who joined this tour has to realize there is going to be a lot of backlash. There is going to be a hit to their reputation. And you know what? They all agreed with me, but they don't care. These athletes don't care what other people think. Most of them aren't that sensitive. Some are, but most of them just, they'll cash their checks and they it doesn't bother them one bit what people say.
It'll be interesting to see also how the ones that are allowed to play in the Masters will bear their scarlet letter, in this case being an L on their chest.
Yes, I hope that, someone said, I wonder if the Masters will put them all, the first 2 days will put them all in the same group and, you know, send them off all off at, you know, 7:30, 8:45, you know, first groups off. Or the last groups in the afternoon, just the worst time. I'll put them all together. And, you know, let them get out there and play amongst themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, how important was it last year for Tiger Woods to say no to basically $1 billion for the PGA?
Yeah, that would have been the live that you talk about, hitting the jackpot and everything else. And, the, you know, that would have made it. I mean, if Tiger did it, and not just then, you would have had guys following him too. It didn't surprise me. There was no chance. If you said to me a year ago, this is what this league's going to be, this is how much they're paying, this is what they're going to offer Tiger Woods, I'd say there's no chance in the world he's taking that. You know, that did not surprise me in the least bit. I don't think he would have even, I don't think it was a thought in his mind to take that money. Why would he need that now? You know, here's the other thing. How much did he, you know, he's, it would have, the investment would have been worth it just for the name, but he would have never been on the golf course.
Yeah, well, you also think that he's worked so hard to repair his reputation.
Yes.
And this would have destroyed it twice as bad. So, you know, smart move by Tiger.
Yeah, so, and there are others like him that there are some that have made a multi gazillion dollars like Tiger, and Dustin Johnson has and still went, and, you know, Rory has, and Justin, these guys, these perennial top 10 guys, you know, we're talking about 40, 50, 60 million dollars just on the course. We're talking $100 million or more for most of them. It makes me laugh when some of them, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, I want to take care of my grandchildren. You haven't taken care of, Dustin Johnson made $70 million more than that on the PGA Tour. He hasn't taken care of his grandchildren already. He's taken care of 10 generations of Johnsons. So, you know, it just makes me laugh. The excuses they try to find just to not talk about the elephant in the room, where the money's coming from.
Well, you know, Tom, I think it's been a great discussion on LIV Golf. I just wanted to touch on a couple other things before I let you go here. But this was one of my favorite stories I've read recently, just because of how it made me laugh. Love him or hate him, former President Donald Trump is always doing something to grab attention, and he declared himself the winner after a shady round where he didn't really even play, so he just, you know, took his score from a few days ago and then declares himself grand champion. Why don't you tell us what happened at his tournament here a couple of weeks ago, because that one just, I couldn't stop laughing with that.
I just wish there were members at Trump International here in West Palm Beach that would talk, because man, but you know the first day they do, that's the last day they're a member of Trump International. But yeah, so they have their senior championship, I believe it was, over a 2-day period. The first day, the owner of the course, Donald Trump, was not there. He was at a funeral for one of his supporters who had passed away, and so he was in North Carolina, I believe. So the members play their first day of their championship, and they come back the next day and they look at the leaderboard is up there, and there's Donald Trump at the top of the leaderboard. He wasn't even here. So what he did is he got back. He said, I think it was 2 days before, he went out and played a practice round, and he, you know, whatever you, who knows, but he says they scored it by the Stableford system. So it was points. It wasn't strokes, but the score he gave himself was 5 points better than anybody else. When you do the Stableford system, it's going by high number, unlike, you know, a regular golf tournament. So he wrote his name in top of the board. And they all got back, and there was Trump leading the tournament. And at the end of the day, he won the tournament. He had a 5-shot lead or 5-point lead entering the final day, and held on and won. So declared himself champion for like the 20. He said he'd won like 21 club championships. I think Rick Riley wrote in his book that the best club champions he knows that won 8, 9, 10 in their lives. So he has, and what actually the Rick Riley book, where Rick Riley had, I read a story that of which he was interviewed, and Trump told him what he would do is whenever he opened a new course, he'd be the first one to play the course. So he'd get out there on a cart, play the course alone. That would be the champion. That would be the club champion, because it was the only round played, and he would declare himself the club champion of every course that he opened. So he went, that's a club champion. That's one. You know, he's opened up 18 courses. You know, so I guess that's 18 year club championships right there. So, yeah, so that was the reaction to that story, I'll say, was interesting from people who love it and people who, you know, from both sides. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I'm going to declare myself the winner of the Tim Walters Championship. And even though there's no such thing, I've won it for 15 years in a row. So I'll catch him someday because I'm 30-something years younger.
And give yourself, you know, what does it pay? How about $1,000 goes to the champion? You can pay yourself $1,000.
Oh, that's fantastic. In fact, I might just show up at the Masters and tell them I'm in the lead on Sunday and see what happens.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, Tom, what are you going to be working on as we near the Honda this week and then in the next few weeks thereafter? Because I know that you're a busy man. You're always writing all sorts of golf. So what do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been here 42 years, and for 37, I never covered golf, maybe around here and there, helping out different tournaments. And now it's like 80% of my job. So it's all golf. I mean, I will be at dip pieces of, I think, 5 tournaments over a 2-month period. Last weekend, I helped out our Southwest Florida properties covering the senior championship tour at Tiburon, which Bernard Langer won and set a record. I was not there yesterday for that, but I was there early in the tournament. This week, I'll be at Honda every day. I'm coming up to your neck of the woods for a few days. I won't be there the entire week. I usually am, but I'm not going to be there the entire week at the Players early in the week, maybe probably the first round, because when I got to come back, and then I'm going out to Tucson for the first U.S. Live event. Now, we did this last year at Portland, and we went to the first one after Live is such a polarizing thing to write about. And the thing is, people are reading it. People who hate it are reading it. People who love it are reading it. And that's all you want, is everybody's reading it. So the numbers are through the roof, and we know people are interested in anything you write about it. So the first 2 years of Live, we've taken the first U.S. event and gone to that to write about it, kind of establish ourselves for the season. And then 2 weeks after that, they are in Orlando. So that's one I can drive to. And the week after that is the Masters, which I'll be heading up to. So this, like, that's right there. This 2-month stretch is more golf than I covered in 37 years, literally. Actually, it actually is for this 2-month stretch. And then it's I don't know what it is after that. It's just Time off, getting ready for football season, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you look at it, it'll be interesting because, like you say, we watch the metrics. We know what people are reading. And of course, we're going to write about things that the people are most interested in. But I'm curious to see what the actual viewership numbers for their tournaments are going to be like. Do people just care about the storylines of famous people playing for a known bad government nation that you know takes away freedoms, or do they actually care about the golf? So that will be one to watch for.
I have said this all the last 6 months. How long does this last? Because from my experience, no one cares about the golf. That no one care. I was at the two tournaments I was at, especially Portland. When I went to Portland, the first one in the U.S., there was about four or five media outlets, including the New York Times, including ESPN, that left when the golf started. they were there for the storylines. And the storylines were great last year because it seemed like every other week you had another name coming all the way to September when Cam Smith jumped. But, you know, the first wave of names with Dustin Johnson on it, and then Phil Mickelson, and then you get the Brooks Koepka wave, and you're getting all the and Patrick Reed, Sergio Garcia, all these names, Bryson DeChambeau, big names, and all the way to Cam Smith. They were able to May to September. So every time they were able to put that out, that's a huge story. And then of course there was there's the bickering and the lawsuits and the PGA's reaction to what's going on. Your first experience at a live event with the music and the shotgun starts and the team, how the whole team aspects. Well, all that's kind of now, we all know about that now. And there's no more, we all know right now at this point, I would be shocked if they got another, big name for the rest of this year. I think that's done. So you're not going to keep getting those names trickling in. You can only write about where the money's coming from for so long. We all know where that's what's happening over there. We all know where the money's coming from, and we know what the tournaments look like. So how long does this popularity last? And at one point, because at some point they are going to have to sell the golf, and right now no one really cares about the actual golf.
And that's a problem when you're a golf league. Tom, we can read all of your stuff at palmbeachpost.com. And where can people find you on social media if they want to see the links you're posting there?
On Twitter, at Tom D'Angelo, TomDangelo, 44. And everything's there, including our entire Honda. It wasn't a special section, but it was within the section yesterday, a lot of Honda stuff, and there will be a lot of Honda stuff moving forward the rest of the week. Also, tomorrow down here, we have Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy holding a press conference at Palm Beach State College, about 2 miles from PGA National, about Tiger's new golf league, that Monday league that they're going to have there, that Rory is part of, Tiger and Rory's golf league. So they're having a quick a press car, a very unusual, a rare Tiger Woods, kind of press conference outside off the course tomorrow morning, which is going to be, I'm sure, very, very crowded.
And that's taking place Tuesday morning, just in case you're listening to this on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. We're taping on a Monday. Good to remind people of that.
So, yeah. And, and that Honda hopes that gets a little few people interested in that tournament, but they are not hopeful that there's going to be, it's not going to, let's put it this way, there'll be plenty of seats available in the media room at the Honda Classic this week.
All righty. Well, maybe next year it'll be the Duncan Classic and you can get yourself some good coffee.
And a lot more world and a lot more top 20 players. Whatever it's called, if they get a lot more top 20 players, they'll be very happy.
Well, donuts would get me there, so it doesn't take much. I don't need millions. Tom, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I do. I look forward to seeing you up there in Ponte Vedra Beach here in a couple of weeks and get to see you in person for the first time in a year.
Yep, looking forward to going up there. It's always a great event. And thanks again for having me, Tim.
And let's keep the rain away, because it rained like crazy last year during the Players' Championship.
The strangest, one of the most bizarre and the weirdest tournaments. I haven't covered a lot, but by far, nothing was like that week we had last year up there.
Nope, no, it wasn't. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters. And to quote golfing legend Arnold Palmer, I have a tip that can take 5 strokes off anyone's game. It's called an eraser. Sure, like he needed one. Thanks for listening and join us again next time.